Welcome back to another episode of Boston Strongcast. You're listening to episode 20. This is a wonderful interview with Ryan Gleason out of Gleason Performance Training in Derby, Connecticut. Ryan has in-person clients at the gym as well as a large virtual team. His style is really unique, and this is a great informative episode that is going to teach you all about the ways in which Ryan and Kevin both program their clients, how they get them up to meet day, different things like that. So stay tuned. Stay listening, and let's get stronger together.
Can you hear me now?
I can.
All right, sweet. I've never used this software thing before.
So. All right, cool. Neither have I. So I was just like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah, no, me either. And I don't do this normally without Alyssa because she's in charge of these things. So this will... be a big PR for the both of us. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
Good. Kind of tired. I'm never competing on a weekend where I leave for the Arnold 3 days later again. I'm so far behind with work. I'm fucking tired. I'm sore. I'm grumpy.
And did I see that you actually lifted the last 2 days too after the meet?
Yeah, I lifted yesterday and today, and I'll lift tomorrow.
That's rough.
It's really, really light. And I mean, yesterday, my lower back with like, it was like four plates off blocks, felt like it was going to like snap in half.
Right.
I woke up today and I felt all right.
I always laugh because like of my crew here, we've got someone like Steph that literally like the next day is like, all right, I want to start my new program. I want to get into the cycle. I want to go heavy right now. I'm like, you're out of your mind. And then I've got other people that are like, can I come back like next month?
Yeah,
so maybe not that long, maybe, you know, take a couple days, and people are like, yeah. All right, I'm just gonna drink beer and eat pizza for a month and we'll come back.
I mean, normally I would have taken Monday, Tuesday off and then did something really light on Wednesday, but with the Arnold, right. I just wanted to get moving around.
Right. When are you leaving to go out to the Arnold?
Thursday morning. I think our flight leaves at like 9 a.m.
Okay.
And that's a quick turnaround. I think we come back Saturday night relatively.
Like, yeah. I mean, like, have you been out to it before?
No, this will be the first one.
Okay. So we went out I went out 3 years ago and then again 2 years ago. And it's the kind of thing like after you see it once, you don't feel the need to go out that often ever again. I mean, for the meet, it's obviously great, but the expo center is kind of weird. I mean, you'll see.
Yeah. I'm looking to walk through it for about 2 hours, see some douchebaggery, and then just like.
Right.
Chill out,
the,
you know.
The first year that I went, there was this line that had to be a mile long, and I was like, what is this for? So I'm not getting in the line. I'm just gonna walk to the front of the line on the side and see what it is. And all the way at the front is Danilin Bailey and Rich Froning just standing there taking pictures. And there's gotta be 1,000 people in line for both. I'm like, nope, see you later.
Yeah, that's pretty basically what I picture in my
head. Yeah. And then people literally just walk around. There's free samples everywhere. So they're just taking pre-workout. Like crazy. So everyone's just out of their mind.
So all right.
Just, yeah, it's a weird event. The meet goes, heads up, the meet goes really fast.
That's what a few people have said.
Guaranteed, there's a bunch, every year a bunch of people don't show up, so a bunch of people drop out last minute. They don't change the flights to accommodate it. So there was one of the year that Eva won, I think she had 7 in her flight.
Shit.
And I mean like, and they're not messing around. They're not slowing it down. To make up for the 7.
Yeah.
I mean, she took her second squat less than 5 minutes after her first. We were like, oh shit.
She did well at that one though, right?
She won that one. She had a great meet. It just, but I mean, we're kind of used to that training. I don't let them take like 15 minute breaks in between heavy attempts.
Yeah.
But there was people there that literally were like, sat down in the back room and they're like, oh, and they're like, you're on deck. Yeah. And they didn't know what to do. So, I mean, a lot of people went 1 for 3 on squats and just had a bad day. So it's an interesting meet.
Yeah, it'll be good. It's good for her too. Cause she's like, you know, just starting to get into being a little bit more competitive. So being
right,
on
right.
stage, traveling a little bit, I think it's a good experience for her.
Yeah. It's weird. Cause it's like I said, so it's this big meet, but some of the people that are going to it don't even peak for it because some of the people, you know, it's just like a show meet. It's not like, it's obviously not like nationals or worlds.
Right.
So you'll get some crazy numbers, but I think some of the bigger people are putting up average numbers for them. And everyone's usually pretty close. You know, you've got a lot of people that are obviously meant to be there. So it's usually a pretty good competition.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's one, well, I can't believe like Canadian Nationals is 2 weeks out from the Arnold. Like, I don't know how those people do that. Like, there's no way I want to take something heavy right now.
Like, well, that's, I mean, you look at someone like Bonica Lowe, who like every year does two or three events at the Arnold.
Right.
I can't, how do you, like, that is unimaginable to me. How, and then even worse, you get someone like Blaine Sumner who does like the geared competition and then the bench competition the next day.
Right. And it's not like they're squatting 135 pounds. Like, no, they're putting, like, up huge fucking numbers.
Yeah. A couple years ago, he benched like 880 in the full meet and then went for like 920 in the bench only the next day. I can't even comprehend that.
No, absolutely not. So I'll give the little intro. I just got some questions.
Okay.
And we'll start firing away.
Sure.
Hey, everybody. This is Kevin Cam with Boston Strongcast. Today, I'm joined with Ryan Gleason from Gleason Performance out in Derby, Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
Say hi, Ryan, and give a little background on yourself.
Hello, everyone. So like you said, my name is Ryan Gleason. I grew up in this area in Derby, so I wanted to stay here when I opened a gym. So we opened like for real about 5 years ago. I started in my parents' garage about, I don't know, 14 years ago now. I think I came home from college and just started training on my own and people started coming in. So started off as just like a fun thing. And then eventually my dad was like, get out, get a place. We needed more space. So that's where we are now. And so right now I'm actually in my office in the gym. We've got about 75, 80 competing powerlifters here. Mostly USAPL. We got some USPA guys. And yeah, like I guess that's good.
Yeah. It's a pretty cool gym too. I've actually been out there for a meet last July.
Mm-hmm.
You do a pretty good job with the space, setting everything up. I like how everything was color coded. So you knew exactly where it needed to go.
Uh-huh. That's the number one comment we get now. Like anytime anyone posts something on Instagram, they're like, oh man, I love those colored plates. Where'd you get them? I'm like, no, it's just duct tape.
How long did it take to tape every one of those plates in the gym?
Oh God. One of the guys here was like, I'll do it for you. And I think he did like one rack a day. It took him like 3 weeks to do all the tape. I went into Michael's one day and just came home with like 25 different colored duct tape. But I tell everyone, it used to take me an hour every night to clean up, just putting weights away. Now it's maybe 1 minute. Cause now you, like you said, you can look across the room and be like, oh, look at that green plate with the silver ones. And you can make the change right away. So that it's actually, the 3 weeks of taping has saved me probably more than that in just over a year.
Yeah, that's a great idea. So you said you have around 70 to 80 competitive powerlifters at your gym?
I think about that now, yeah.
Do you coach all of them?
Most. We've got about 10 that are what we call open members that are coming in, just using the facility to train here. They either have an online coach or they're doing their own thing. The rest of them are coached by me. I have a few non-powerlifters too. We've got a couple strongmen, a couple weightlifters just getting into it, and then just some like high school and college athletes. But we are primarily powerlifters at this point.
All right. So how do you manage your time coaching that many people?
When I figure it out, I'll let you know. I've tried to be a little bit better about this. I have an almost 3 year old now at home too. So, you know, she takes up a lot of time, but, we've got, 6 or 7 other coaches that work, for me too, that are on the floor a lot of times. So I might be in doing some programming stuff while they're out on the floor. Most of the members, their week starts on Monday. So Sunday and Monday, I'm doing a lot of programming at you know, most of the day Sunday, and then Monday mornings before they come in Monday night. And then we've got a few that are coming kind of throughout the week. So try to get as much done in those 2 days as possible. The people that I do coach here, it's easy. I get to see them on the floor every day, so I can coach them right there. We do have some online members too. That's a little bit different because they're going to post. We have a Facebook group, and usually that'll be something I'll do end of the night when everyone's gone, just look at the videos and see what we need to work on there. And I said, I try to batch together as much as possible, I guess. You know, if I can sit down, like I'll give you an example. This morning I went to drop my daughter off at daycare, went to Starbucks for a few hours and just programmed for 3.5 hours straight. You know, and then picked her up, brought her home, and now I'm at the gym working. Any free time that I have to myself, which is not much, but when we do it, it's basically programming time. So
do with all your people, do they each get different programs, or is it like similar with minor differences, or are they drastically different depending on like,
right. So there's a few that are drastically different, depending on the person, you know, when it comes down to, style of training or injuries or things like that. excuse me. We have a couple people that are, just recover better than anyone I know. So they're training more often with a lot more volume, than most of the others. But for the most part, it's a similar style program. Kind of the program that I've worked out over time that I seem to like at this moment, at least. But everyone's got, you know, their different weaknesses. So the core of it is the same, but everyone's got slightly different things. So it's, I mean, if you look at it, you'll know it's a program for me. You can tell that they're obviously a powerlifter, but then you can look at it and say, okay, this person's working on this. This person's working on this. So there's slight differences. And like I said, there's a few that are very different.
Yeah. I mean, in general, a good chunk of it's going to be the competition lifts anyway. So I guess, you know, you're just changing up volumes and based off of competition schedules.
Yeah.
You know,
I tell everyone, it, you know, you are a powerlifter. If you're not squatting, benching, and deadlifting, then you're doing something wrong anyway. You know, and then depending on the person, like I said, you know, we've got some new people that are, they're not pushing the kind of volume that some of our lifters that have been training for a while have, or the intensity either. Like some of my lifters that have been training now for 9-10 years are handling heavier weights far more often than, you know, someone that's been training for 6 months.
That's just primarily a technique thing, I'm assuming.
Yeah. You know, like, you know, when they're, I mean, we got a couple of people that have come in recently that are, you know, walking off the street and their technique's actually like pretty damn good, but they're not used to the loading yet. They're not used to the volume. So we'll start them off pretty easy, a little bit less frequency, a little bit less volume, a little bit less intensity, and then try to build them up over time, to the point where most of our crew is a pretty high frequency program, you know, squatting 3 to 4 times a week, benching usually 4 times a week, pulling, depending on the person, 1 to 3 times a week. But if someone new comes in, you know, they're probably squatting twice, benching twice, and maybe pulling once or twice.
Okay. So what is a typical, let's say, pick like an intermediate lifter that you have, what a typical week would look like for them in the gym training under you?
Okay. I think most of our lifters probably do 4 days a week. I usually tell the beginners like just to stick to 3, but I think most people just kind of fall into that mindset of 4 works a little bit better. It's a little bit easier to break up. So we have, you know, what I would call our squat, bench, and deadlift days. And then we usually have a second bench day, but like I said, our frequency is pretty high. So even on our squat day, we're going to have some press in there. We'll probably have some kind of a deadlift in there. On the bench day, we always squat before we bench. So it might not be the competition squat, but we will do some kind of a squat before we bench. Same thing on deadlift. So like we'll always squat and bench before we deadlift. That's something that we changed probably about 2 years ago. We used to deadlift first or bench first, you know, depending on the day. And we saw, at the end of the meets, we weren't pulling as well as we should have. I think just cause we were used to pulling fresh. So we went to this kind of a style and it seemed to work where, we're a lot more confident with our third lifts now. But anyway, to be a little bit more specific, so like I said, so day one would be a squat day. So we'll squat first and I run kind of a rotation each week. So 1 week might be, sub-maximal, you know, maybe we're hitting, 70% for several sets of triples, depending on where they are and in their cycle. The next week is usually more of a volume style week. We're hitting sets of 5 or 6, depending on the athlete, anywhere from 3 to 6 sets. And usually the third week we do something relatively heavy. So If we're far out from a meet, it might be, you know, heavier triples between like 80-85%. If we're pretty close to the meet, you know, we're pushing 90-95% pretty consistently. After that, like I said, we'll do some kind of a variation of a bench. We're a little bit different in regards to the, I know you're training with the Shaco style, where we do a lot more variation. So on day one, it would be the competition squat, but then we'll do a variation of bench, usually just to build some volume, to work on whatever their weakness is. And then the third lift of the day would be some kind of a variation of a deadlift, again, to work on their weakness. And then we kind of bodybuild after that. Day one is like, you know, lower body. So we're working on mostly hips and core. Day two, I said, would be a bench day. But again, we'll start with a squat variation to work on their weakness. Then competition bench, same kind of rotation as what we said for squat. And then mostly upper body bodybuilding, you know, back a lot. We do a lot of back work, a lot of triceps. Day three, more of a deadlift day. Again, we'll still squat first. Again, we'll do some kind of variation of a bench after that. Then we'll deadlift, same kind of rotation. And then same kind of thing, bodybuilding again, lower, you know, hips, core. And day four for most people is going to be another competition bench day, depending on where they are in their programming or how, like an intermediate would probably be benching twice. Some of our other lifters might be doing some kind of a variation. A lot of times we'll do a board press on that day too, just to be able to load the bar a little bit better, but without really beating them up as much. So we'll do a lot of two board work. And the same kind of thing, then a lot of upper body bodybuilding after that. So that's a quick rundown, I guess, of the week.
It's a lot of volume, man. So on the day, so say you got your deadlift day and you're squatting and you're benching before that, is it just like really light, low volume type stuff, just kind of going through the motions?
So to use a deadlift day as an example, so like we might do like a front squat as almost like a warm up for the deadlift. Okay. So, you know, pretty low volume, we'll do maybe like three sets of four at, you know, 70% of their front squat max. If they're feeling good, we might push it a little bit more, but it's more meant to be just to work on some squat pattern while getting ready for the deadlift. Same thing for the bench. It'll be, you know, maybe a little bit higher volume on bench, but same kind of thing, pretty low intensity, just working on different variation to work on whatever weakness they are at. And then get into the deadlift, which is still the main focus of the day. So the previous volume, you know, we might be doing, you know, there might be 12 actual reps for squat that day. You know, we're talking a couple warm-up sets before that. So maybe they're getting a total of 20 reps in, but the average volume is, the average intensity is probably low 60s. Yes. So it's not hard work. It's just to get a little bit extra work in. And just to work, like I said, just working on work weaknesses. So like I said, it might be a front squat where it's, you know, over time they might push it a little bit heavier, but like I said, 3x4 at 70% is almost like a nice warm up for deadlift. And that way we can push the deadlift a little bit faster and get into the work sets because they're already warmed up.
Right. I kind of like that idea. And it sounds like basically like one of the days would be like light technique work. Then there'd be some variation where you're pushing the intensity a little bit to strengthen some weaknesses, and then the comp lifts.
Yes.
On the other days, basically.
Yeah. I talked to, I think it was like probably 2 years ago, Zach Cooper and I were talking, and he had mentioned that like with his guys that they always, like I said, they always squat before they bench. They always squat and bench before they deadlift. We tried it out. It's worked really well. The difference is, I didn't run it with as much competition style squatting and benching. I like doing those variations. I think we have, especially for me, I think we have a lot of intermediates that have been lifting for a decent amount of time and they're pretty strong, but we're weak at certain things. You know, so like, I know like our incline pressing, everyone seems to be pretty weak at that. I know it's not specific to powerlifting, but I feel like if we can bring up our incline press, then it should have some carryover to the bench. So that way, when we have our competition bench day, hopefully we're getting stronger there too.
Yeah, and I think like the incline bench is a good example of one, it's going to build some mass. Two, it's the same muscle, it's the same muscles involved, but you're also attacking it at a different joint angle. So where you are using such a high frequency, hitting those other angles probably keeps people from getting them even more banged up and stuff.
Exactly. I was actually before we got on online today, I actually said to someone I wanted to ask. I was going to ask you in this podcast of when you do. I know like you low, when you competition squat, so it's low bar all the time. What do you guys do to not bang up your elbows?
Wear elbow sleeves.
All right. Solid answer.
I think part of it is it literally comes down to just there's enough lighter days in there. So there'll be like higher volume days, medium volume, low volume days kind of sprinkled throughout. And I don't know, like there's just like this process of kind of getting used to it.
Right.
So yeah, my elbows are hurt at times and it's kind of gone up and down, but now that I've been doing it for 2.5 years, it's nowhere near.
Gotcha.
Being like, I don't even recognize it as much anymore.
Okay.
You know, we're only squatting twice a week, so our volume might get high, but there are days where, you know, your elbows are kind of taking a little bit of a break.
Right.
On those other days.
And then, like I said, that's where we're squatting generally 3 to 4 days a week. So, you know, and like I said, you know, we might get a day where, you know, we have a belt squat that we use pretty regularly too. So if someone's beat up, we'll use the belt squat to get a lot of leg work in, but to give the upper body a rest. But yeah, we're pretty high frequency. So I try to mix it up a little bit so we're not getting beat up as often as we used to.
Yeah, no, and I think that makes a lot of sense. Like I think if I was going to have somebody squat more often, throughout the week, I would definitely add in like high bar, even just to give the elbows a little bit of a break.
Yeah. Like, I mean, a good example, one of my guys, like, right before we got on, he, yesterday was his competition squat day. So he low barred yesterday. But he squatted again today and today was high bar. And he did come over to me and say, man, why do I suck so much at high bar? I was like, well, we don't really do it that often. It's, you know, it's not what he competes in. So low bar is the more important one, but the high bar gives his upper body a little bit of a rest before he goes and does competition bench today. That's why I throw that in. But yeah, I mean, it's, we kind of work around, you know, not everyone does that. So some of the people, we got a couple guys that have been competing longer that are a little bit more beat up, that their frequency is not as high just because they wouldn't be able to handle 4 days a week of squatting without wanting to kill me.
Right. And then, and once their weights are heavier and stuff, it gets a little dicey to recover.
Yeah. There's a few guys here that are moving some pretty serious weight and our girls too, obviously, that, like, you know, when you've got a 138 pound female that's consistently squatting 350, can't do that every day.
No, absolutely not. I think, like, you brought up a good point with the high bar squats and how one of your lifters felt it was awkward. Like, I think that's where variation might have like its greatest impact. It's you're a beginner at that exercise.
Right.
So where you haven't done it for a while, you get those kind of beginner gains with that exercise. Right. And there's probably some carryover to the comp lifts for those reasons. So, you know, the way that we do variations, like variations do make up about 60% of our total volume, but they're very, very small. So it might just be a pause on the squat.
Right.
You know, we use bands and chains and stuff like that. And we'll leave it in for a period of time. So depending on what it is, I'll leave it in for like 4 to 6 weeks and we'll just kind of like progress it that way. And then on to the next one.
Right. Right.
So hopefully you remove something for a period of time. You bring something else into it and you kind of keep get those like beginner gains on that exercise and like kind of carry over to the lift. And I think that's where like incline bench press is one of the ones we'll throw in occasionally with that.
Yeah, we generally change up the variations about every 3 weeks. And then I try not to come back to them for like 12 to 18 weeks, depending on the athlete. And like you just said, you're right. We come back to it in like the first week, you know, going back to incline after 15 weeks off, they're like, man, I can't hit anything. But by the third week, they're actually moving some pretty good weight. And I'm assuming that's going to have some carryover in muscle mass and some carryover to the pressing strength in their competition bench.
Yeah. I mean, you know, everything's a theory, but I think it's one of the best guesses we have for now. I think when we're writing programs,
that's what, you, it's all a guess.
Yeah, exactly. You said that you guys hit 90 to 95% pretty frequently in training.
Closer
to a meet.
So we roughly take a heavy attempt in each discipline, like every third week.
Okay.
So, you know, the first week of a 3 week block would be a heavier deadlift. The second week would be a heavier bench. The third would be a heavier squat. You know, like I said, several months out from a meet, heavy might be 80% for sets of three,
okay.
Which is heavy, but it's not, I mean, they can hit that for four or five sets and not have a problem with it. Once we get inside of about 6 weeks, we are pushing over 90% on those days, depending on how they look. I'll program 90% usually for singles. And then if it looks good, and this is actually, I'm sure you know, like from Chico, because I saw him at one of the seminars too, where he said, you know, if he allows it, you can go up. And, you know, I'll watch the 90%. And if it looks good, then we'll go up a little bit. And depending on where they are, like, you know, every once in a while we'll PR early in a cycle, which gets me a little nervous that maybe something is off. But if it's there, we'll take it. If it's not there, then maybe we either stay at 90% or back off. But yeah, like I said, the last 6 weeks we're hitting probably 90 to 95% for each one, something each week. And depending on the athlete, maybe even a little bit heavier than that. And then, you know, like in that middle range, like 12 weeks out, we're probably hitting 85 and maybe pushing upwards of 90% if they look good. But when I say that, like, we might hit one single at 90% and call it a day there.
Okay. That's actually, it's very similar to what we do. Like 80% for five triples is kind of like a standard training day far off from a meet. And then we'll hit those triples followed by some doubles at 85 and then we'll hit some singles at 90, then 2 weeks later a test and then the taper leading into the meet. So that's kind of, similar to that. One of the things that I started messing around with some of my lifters the last few weeks is always leaving a heavy single in there. So it doesn't necessarily mean that we'll just take 90% for one, but it might be like a 2 or 3 second pause at 80% for a single on the squat or something like that, just to keep that, like, what I've seen from a lot of my lifters is they get in this groove where they get used to the weights and stuff and everything's just kind of grooved and grooved and grooved. And then when the weight gets heavy, they're just not attacking the weights the same.
Right. I agree with that.
So we'll see how that works. And
I think, I mean, a lot of the reason why I keep that heavier day and to push a little bit is more of a mental thing than a physical thing, really.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like we get enough frequency and enough volume and that I'm not worried that the strength is not going to be there when we test. I think the strength will definitely be there. But I think some of the athletes, when they haven't touched, you know, anything over 85, 90% for a while, when they hear the thought of, like, you know, 95, 100%, they're like, wow, that's really heavy. Like, no, you've done enough work. You're probably fine. But if we throw in, you know, one at 90 or one at 93 every once in a while, they just feel a little more comfortable under the weight, you know, walking it out, having it in their hands. And like you said too, now they know they have to be a little bit more aggressive. They can't just, oh, another 80% for triple. They can just kind of smooth through that. They need to actually grind a little bit and push.
Yeah, and I think too, because in my head I'm like, I don't understand why you think 90% is so psychologically like scary and stuff. 85% for freaking doubles and triples is way worse.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I realized that in a lot of you know, especially with the some of the females that I had, they got really intimidated by the weights. And then, like, right, on meet day, it's like you get that adrenaline dump and then you're just running out of gas. And so obviously the more you handle that stuff, the less stress that it actually causes a lifter. And I think on meet day, that saved energy just helps a lot. So like Kerry, who's competing in the Arnold, last February, she only squatted like 230 something. She would get so scared on the heavier weights that she would just cut it really high.
Right.
And like, I told her, I'm like, we're going to start making two plates the new norm. And since about 60 pounds on her squat.
Yeah.
So like that confidence and the attacking it and the, like, it made a difference, but the overall stress of the program was no different.
Right.
Like, it's almost the exact same.
I laughed at one of my lifters yesterday, actually, that, she had, a bunch of triples at, forget the percentage off the top of my head, but I know she was doing 265 pounds. And she's like, why is this so easy? And I was like, you did 295 for singles a few weeks ago. Like 265 for triples is worse.
Yeah.
I was like, I'd rather do all those singles. And like, she'd rather have the flip because like, I think this, you know, she just sees the heavier weight and wants to get into it, which is a little bit different mindset than some. But I said, I think I'd hitting the single is pretty easy. I'd love to hit singles all the time. You know, when I see triples, it's like, oh, like that's a heavy triple. I don't like, maybe we can just do one and call it there.
Right. Or just take the triples as like single reps for just like
right. a yeah. million
sets.
Yeah. And you're right. Like I said, I think they just need that mindset of, okay, I've touched something heavy recently, so I'm okay with it. We're, and, you know, come meet day, they've hit something close to what they're, you know, going to hit on meet day. So they're mentally more prepared for it, even though, like I said, physically they were probably fine the whole time.
Right. Exactly. I do feel that that helps a lot. Going into a meet, do you guys test or how do you go about like your peaking and tapering process?
Probably different every time until I figure out something that works, I guess. I mean, that's not the right way to say. I mean, like, you know, we do usually pretty well in meets. We, you know, we generally hit
606 for it.
Well, I don't know if you heard that. Someone just PR'd here. So
606.
606, 275 oh, yeah. keys. He's been pushing that for a while. So there's one of your tests. He had a heavy day today. I told him to work with one of the other coaches since I'd be doing this and didn't think we were going that heavy, but all right. Anyway, Coach Aiko 2 years ago changed the way I was testing a little bit. We were generally, you know, 2 weeks out from a meet, we would kind of test everything. And then the last week we'd hit like openers 6 days out roughly. And then kind of, you know, do the competition lifts every day, but very easy, you know, 4x3 at 60%, something that just to get the work in. So they could feel the weight a little bit, but not do anything that difficult. And after that seminar, we started pushing everything back a little bit farther. So we actually test deadlift now about 20 days out, which I think he had said like around 19, 20 days. So we pushed it about to about 20 days. Squat, we go a little bit closer. Squat's usually about 14. And bench, I'll push into like the 10-day range. Which is just because I feel like we can recover faster from the bench. So we can handle the weight a little bit closer to the meet and still be okay. I've also just seen that when we deload the bench too much too early, come meet day, everyone feels like it weighs a ton. So we keep the bench in there a little bit longer. But like I said, so about 20 days out in deadlift we'll test. Probably about 12 to 14 days out for squat, and then probably 7 to 10 for bench, depending on the athlete. Usually for women, we'll go a little bit closer to the meet. And then 5-6 days out, we'll hit openers, and then kind of just cruise into the meet. You know, we still hit some like upper back work and some triceps and some core work along with the lifts. But, you know, we're talking maybe they're here for 40 minutes, you know, a few days out from the meet, just to feel the weight, get them, you know, move a little bit, and then the last couple of days just rest.
So the week after the testing, is that when the volume just starts to cut in half or so?
Yeah. I mean, like by that point, it's already come down a little bit anyway. But after that it drops off. Yeah. Literally like early in the week, it's about 50%. By the end of the week, it's even less than that. We actually have a meet, about 10 of our women are competing, this Saturday. So most of them took their openers, Monday, some took Sunday. There were a little bit stronger athletes, took them a little bit earlier. Some of the lifters have been competing them longer. You actually know Sophie. Sophie wanted to go a little bit heavier, a little bit later. So she's actually taking, a little bit heavier lifts tonight. She'll hit some stuff tonight and Thursday, and then she'll, rest into the meet for Saturday. And I mean, like for her, if all goes well, she should. We're looking at PRs in each lift and a pretty good total PR. So, you know, she's learned that she likes to go a little bit heavier, closer to the meet. Most of the people about a week out, like you said, the volume drops off pretty hard. Like I said, we'll hit our openers and back off from there.
And what are openers for you guys, around 90% or so?
I actually go a little bit lighter. For a lot of the beginner intermediates, we usually go like around 87, 88. I tell them all the time, I really don't care what your opener is. I care what your third is. So we'll take a pretty light opener and make a pretty big jump to the second, usually to around 95%. And then the goal for the day, you know, being 100, hopefully we get that for the third. If someone's been competing a little bit longer, then we open closer to 90. You know, someone who's putting up, like the kid who just yelled out the 600 squat, you know, if he's squatting 600, I don't really want to take that 7 or 8% jump in between. I want to take a little bit of a smaller jump. So we might go like 90, 95, 96, and then go for the goal. But especially with the women lifters, especially with bench, I like to have a little bit of that gap just in case something goes wrong. We have an option.
Right.
One of the lifters was talking yesterday, her goal's 65 kilos, 143 for the meet, and she wanted to go 132, 137, 143. And I think most coaches would probably do that. I would rather take that little bit lighter opener just in case.
Yeah.
And we'll take that bigger jump into the second attempt. So we'll probably go 120, whatever it is, 127, right up to like 137 and then 143. If everything goes well, if not, we've got that back off where we can drop to 132 and then 137.
Right. And still have an option.
And still have the option. Yeah. I like having choices, you know, because I've been, not that I've been doing that this, you know, that long, but long enough that things go wrong.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Especially on meet day.
Right. And I told everyone the story a couple years ago in Denver at Raw Nats. One of my lifters who's never cut a squat in his life cut his opener. And I was like, what's going on? He's like, I don't know. I feel terrible. And the air conditioning was broken in the hotel. So it was 90 plus degrees in the hotel. The elevation, I'm sure, was a factor. And you know, we opened it 88%, so we were able to adjust the plan, and he still ended up having a really good day. It just wasn't, you know, wasn't the original plan. But if I think if we opened a little bit heavier, he might not have had that same kind of day because it would have affected him even more.
Right, and plus if he's going to take something heavier and sink it a little lower than what he's used to, and
right,
probably grinding it out, and you know, you're wasting some energy there. You know, I do like my opener to feel very easy.
Right.
Like, I want it to be a warm up, just kind of, you know, get my feet underneath.
Exactly.
And I'll take a bigger jump. I don't mind that.
Right. That's what I tell everyone. I was like, your opener is a warm up. I'm not looking at it as an opener. I don't, like I said, I don't care what your opener is. We're here for your third attempt. So it's just a stepping stone. So we get used to in training, if we're going on it, if we got a heavier day, I'll have them take bigger jumps. So on meet day, when those jumps are there, they're ready for it.
They're used to it.
Yeah, they're used to it, because it drives me nuts when it's like, okay, let's go up 5 pounds. Okay, let's go up 5 pounds. Okay, let's go up 5 pounds. Like, no, it's okay. Like, you can take that 20-pound jump. You're strong enough. You'll be fine.
So in my programs, because everything I write will be 50% and higher. So our warm-ups,
right.
Usually if it's like 80, 85%, they'll take 3 warm-up sets. So say, you know, we're going to work up around 80. They'll mm-hmm. take 50, 60, 70.
Right.
So as I progress their training, so they might be taking 80%, say for 5 triples for a couple weeks type of thing, mm-hmm. like moving in and out through the program. And say we're increasing that to 82.5%. I won't mm-hmm. change the jumps. So they'll go 50, 60, 70, 82.5. So they
get
taking those bigger jumps for those same reasons. And like right away when they get it, they're like, I can't make a jump this big. Like, it's 82.5%. Like, you could wake up from a nap and hit this.
Right.
Like, it wouldn't feel nice, but you could.
Right. And that extra 2.5%, I mean, even for a big, strong lifter, it's not a big difference from the 80%. So if you've been doing 50, 60, 70, 80, going 50, 60, 70, 82 is probably not that big of a deal.
Right. No, even on a 600-pound squat, it's like 15 pounds. It's not like anything you're probably even noticing.
Right. That's why I tell everyone here too, like 2.5%. And that's, I love that 2.5% jump of like, you know, we'll add 2.5 here and there. Like if we can make 100, 102, like, you know, or 100 to a 97. So we've got that 2.5% jump now. Like, I'm very happy with that. And at most people's strength level, you're right. 2.5 is, they might not even notice it.
Right.
Exactly. If I loaded the bar and they didn't know what was on there, they might not notice it.
Yep. And so, it just, you know, it goes to show how much of this sport is actually psychological.
Right.
You know, and like, it's funny, like the, some people get so worked up at it. It's like, you don't have to do this. You know, you're not making money. You're not like, there are plenty of other sports.
Right. This is just something that we enjoy doing. So.
Yeah, exactly. So you also run meets over there at Gleason Performance quite frequently.
We do run a lot of meets. Yeah.
How many meets did you guys run last year?
Last year between USAPL and USPA, I think we did 8 or 9 last year. This year we're probably on pace to do 10 or 12 here.
Oh shit. So that's like one a month.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. We've already done, we did one in January already. One in February. We're doing one this weekend. Another one in April. The Connecticut State Championship is the big one. That's in May. That's a 2-day meet. I think we're taking June off and then we're back at it in July. The New England is so densely packed with lifters that there's, you can run meets probably every weekend and you'll get people to show up. And there's really not a whole lot going on in Connecticut, at least for USAPL, USPA. So, you know, we host all the meets here because, well, first off, most of the lifters are in this gym. But it gives the people a chance to compete. You know, otherwise I'm not sure how many meets would be running Connecticut every year. So I'd rather just host as many as possible and let people get a chance. The meet this weekend, like I said, we've got several of my lifters competing, but some of them, it's, I think 5 of the 10, it's their first meet. And of the 44 people, I think that are lifting overall, I think there's 20 or 22 new people, which is awesome.
Like their first ever meet?
First ever meet.
That's pretty cool.
That's what I think is cool, that we're giving them that chance to actually get out there, where when I started coaching, we didn't have anything in Connecticut. We went to Massachusetts all the time because that was the only option. So if we can run, you know, several meets a year in Connecticut, at least it gives the people a little bit closer option.
Yeah, and even for us, like last year, one of my lifters wasn't sure if she wanted to go to nationals and then finally made up her mind to do nationals. Like, it's not that far for us. Like, it was 2.5 hours. We came down the night before, competed, and, you know, in the car and home, and, you know, it was a pretty easy trip even coming up from Massachusetts.
Right. And that's, like I said, that's the thing with New England, is that most of the meets, I mean, like I said, I've been up and down. I've been into New Hampshire to help judge meets and help coach meets, and a bunch of Massachusetts. We haven't gotten up to Maine yet. We did one in Vermont. We've gone out of New England, gone down to Jersey and into New York. But like I said, you can drive a couple hours and hit, you know, 10 different locations for meets. So there's always something that's pretty close.
Yeah, and the growth of everything. Like, it's amazing how fast everything is growing. Like,
I know. It's my first year coaching, I had one of my best friends was my only competing athlete that year. You know, in the second year, there was 5. And it was like, you know, nice and slow for a few years. And then now I said, you know, 70, 80 people. And almost half of those have been in the last year.
Yeah, it's insane. I've picked up almost 30 in the last year.
Yeah.
I look up and I'm looking at like program due dates, and all of a sudden there's like a fucking Excel spreadsheet that has like, you know, 30 names on it. And it's like, Jesus Christ.
I know. About a year ago when I was programming for like 40 athletes, I was like, man, I don't know how I had the time for this. I was starting to get really nervous. I was like, I got to make sure I can do this. And this year I'm like, all right, I got 80 athletes. I don't know how I'm going to do this. But the explosion of the sport, you know, 5 years ago, there was no way this could have been my job.
Yeah, no, exactly. I was literally saying that to somebody the other day. Like, if you had told me a few years ago that I was going to be only coaching power lifters at this point in my life, I'd be like, you're fucking high.
Right.
No way.
You know? No, when I opened my gym, it was meant to be athletes coming from, you know, I came from a college background in sports, and I was going to train high school and college athletes. And we didn't have a competing powerlifter for 2 or 3 years. And then we had, like I said, we had one. So it was just like, I was working with all athletes. And then in the last pretty much 2 years, I'd always fought my wife would always say, we're a powerlifting gym. I'm like, we're not a powerlifting gym. We're a strength gym. Like, we'll get everyone strong. We'll take everyone. It doesn't matter. And now I'm like, okay, we're a powerlifting gym.
Yeah, you're running 12 meets a year.
Yeah, I was like, I can't fight it anymore. But again, like, you know, 5 years ago, I said we had one person. Now we have 80. So
it's amazing.
I can actually call it a powerlifting gym. Like 5 years ago, I was like, no, we have one person.
It's kind of cool that spots like that are starting to open up almost everywhere. Like, I mean, there was a period of time where TPS was the only one like in the Boston area.
Right.
Now I'm in a new spot. So, you know, we have a crew in Somerville, which is like 10 minutes from there. There's three or four other places within a 25-30 minute drive right. that you can go to, and there's strong people you can train at. Like, it's pretty cool. And I believe the sport's going to continue to grow, and hopefully that's good for both you and I and our right. bank accounts.
I know. I said that, you know, the fact that, you know, like you said, you can have three or four spots that are that close and all doing well, you know, like, if this is, there's no way that would have happened a couple of years ago, but I know the USAPL membership, the letter came out today. I think we're already at like 11,000 members.
Yeah, I saw
it's
that.
Not even March. That's like insane. when we joined USAPL 5 or 6 years ago, I think there was like 4,000 members at the end of the year. So, you know, we'll probably hit 20,000 members USAPL this year. Like that's such a huge increase. It's just great to see.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great sport. I think like the coolest part of it, yeah, you have your genetic freaks, but if you're not that great at it, if you just put your time and you do it right,
right.
and you keep working hard, you'll be there with them at the end of the day. So it's like, yeah. it's a sport that kind of gives back.
I tell everyone, like, I can have everyone competing in powerlifting pretty quickly. You know, I'm not saying you're going to be good. You know, you might not make nationals right off the bat like a lot of people do, but we can squat to depth and we can bench to lockout and we can lock out our deadlifts pretty quickly. And they do their first meet and they just enjoy it. I said, I don't know anyone that's done one meet and then be like, nah, I'm done. You know, everyone signs up for another meet after that and they're just into it. Where, you know, some of the other strength sports are a little bit harder to keep going at because they're, for whatever reasons, like, you know, I love Olympic lifting. I grew up with a weightlifting background first, actually, but it's a way harder sport.
Yeah, 100%. The technique required is.
Yeah, you know, trying to catch the snatch is not as easy as benching.
Right, exactly.
So it's just, you know, I think people are gravitating more and more toward, and even though weightlifting has grown by leaps and bounds too, you know, people come in all the time, they're like, oh, I can power lift. I'm like, yeah, you know, why not jump in?
It's just way cooler to lift more weight anyways.
I agree. Yeah, like I said, I came from weightlifting background. I love those lifts still, but I don't know, I enjoy a heavy deadlift over a snatch any day now.
Yeah, 100%. So you got a meet coming up this weekend. Any big things going? Any other big things going on over there at Gleason Performance?
After this one, so we've got a bunch of new people doing this meet. I mentioned before to you, like Sophie's coming down for the meet this weekend. She's this should put her probably top 15 in the 63s, I think, in the country. So that should be fun. And then she's going to do a strongman show and then do an equipped meet. So she's just going to hit the whole gamut.
Yeah, she's nuts.
Yeah. You know, as I said to her, she's probably going to win the strongman show and then equipped. She was second in the country last year. So, you know, that's just crazy. We do have a USPA meet coming up next month. And we were joking that we just saw Kevin Oak sign up for that one. So, we're getting some different spotters to come in. So we get a little bit, nothing against my normal crew, but we want some stronger guys for Kevin Oak. After that, like I said, we'll take a little bit of a break. My crew this year, we're trying to figure out if they want to go to Spokane for nationals. Last year in Florida, it was kind of easy. We had I think we had 25 of us down there. This year, not as many people want to travel out to Spokane. So regionals, I think, might be a big event for us.
Okay.
So I think we'll probably try to relax for a little while before either one of those two big ones. Not having the Arnold this year is actually kind of nice to just have a little bit of a break. You'll see after you go.
I can imagine.
I love coaching and I love doing the meets, but I feel like sometimes I just want a little bit of a block where it's like, okay, I don't have someone competing in the next like 4 weeks.
Yes.
You know, just let someone take a little bit of a break. Let's take some time. But then again, it's like I said, the state championship meet in May, almost our entire gym competes at that one. That started 5 years ago is basically our meet because we just wanted to try something. And this year, I think we've got 60 of our lifters doing that May meet.
That is awesome, though.
It's awesome.
They must get fired up for that.
It's awesome and terrifying at the same time.
Oh, yeah. For you, it's going to suck. Yeah,
they love it because, like, they're all competing together. So it's literally, like, you'll see almost entire flights of, like, Team GPT. So, like, it's cool because they're cheering for each other while they're lifting. And it just, you know, it's almost like any given day where they're here training anyway. But now we get to go out there and actually put it out there and test. So that's really fun. It's a great meet. We have a great time. But I lose my mind because I'm like, oh, I'm coaching everyone. So that's a terrifying weekend. After that, usually I want a couple days off and people come in on Monday. They're like, can we start training? Nope, go away. 50 days, we'll come back in a few.
I'd be issuing 60 restraining orders at the end of the meet. Oh,
I literally
in 7 to 10 days.
Yeah, they're like, come on. I'm like, no, I'll see you in a couple days. I'm going home. But like I said, it is a really fun meet. You know, like I said, so many of our lifters do it. We usually do the women are on one day, the men are on the other day, just because it is a big meet. And we joke with our men here that they need to step up their game because our women are probably better than our men. But our 63 women this year at our meet, we'll have three or four of the top 15 in the country doing the state championship meet.
Oh shit.
We've got Eva, Bridget, Stephanie Scoville, who hasn't made nationals. Well, she's made nationals, but she hasn't done it yet. She'll jump right up into the top 15. We've got a couple of new lifters that are actually going to put up some big numbers. Got a couple other girls. Ayla is going to go 72. She was number 2 teen in the country last year, so she'll be she's going to push for top 3 juniors this year at 72. April is an alternate on the world team right now for masters, so she'll be doing that meet too. I'm not trying to skip all of our other women, so everyone that's going to listen to this later, I'm really sorry. We'll have probably have 30 women competing at this meet. So
what's the date of that one?
It's the first weekend of May. So I'm looking at my calendar. So what's that? This? I think it's the 6th and 7th.
Okay. All right. First weekend.
5th and 6th, I think. The Saturday is the women and Sunday is the men. So it'll be a good show.
Okay. And if people want to find you, Ryan, where should they look?
Biggest thing, we use Instagram the most. The Instagram name is Team GPT, but if you go to GleasonPerformance.com, most of that stuff's on the website there. Just reach out. I mean, I said in Connecticut, if you're around, come in. We've got a little bit of everything. Come on in, train. If you're not around, then, you know, reach out. And I travel a lot too. So when I'm at places, I like to try to see new gyms and meet new lifters and go from there.
Yeah, sounds great. All right, Ryan, I appreciate you coming on.
Thank you.
So follow Team GPT at Instagram. Yep. I said that right, right?
Yep.
Give me a follow on Instagram, KWCan. Make sure to follow our group, Precision Powerlifting Systems, on Instagram as well. And stay strong, Boston.